And we're holding Memhe Amud Beis, the second Mishnah. Continuing on the topic of the Nazir Tahar, when he shaves and brings his Karbanos, what the procedure is. So we dealt with the beginning of it. He brings three Karbanos. We said that he takes his hair and puts some of the gravy of the shlomim on it and puts it on the fire under the shlomim. And we talk about the various ins and outs and details of that. The Mishnah continues. Now the Nazir would be cooking the shlomim, or he would be shokan. Now the Mefarish over here learns that sholek means not fully cooked. On the other hand, Tosfos says it means overcooked. Yeah, this machlokas in a couple of other places in Shas also, where in various places in Shas it mentions this word sholek, and does it mean overcooked, or does it mean undercooked? Whatever the case, so the Nazir is cooking, is cooking or undercooking or overcooking the shlomim. Hakoyen noitolos azroya. Then the koyen takes the front leg, the front leg of the animal, specifically zroya means the upper part of the front right leg, b'shela, and it was cooked min ha'ayil from the ram. Now you have like this. In general, when a person brings a shlomim, you usually have there's the chaz of a shoit. There's the chest and the back right leg of the animal that are given to the kohen, that are waved and given to the kohen. So here, this being a shlomim, you have those as well. But you also have, something special with the shlomim, with the ram of a nazir that you don't have with other korbanos. Those you do, the chaz of a shoit you do when they're still raw. Here instead you're taking the leg after it's cooked, and you're waving it and giving it to the kohen. The Mefarish actually refers to a Gemara in Cholin that says that there's different opinions in the Gemara over there what the word b'sheva means. Does it actually mean cooked? In that case, then isn't there a problem that it's cooked together with the rest of the meat? Isn't the rest of the meat absorbing flavor from it? And here you have a piece which is reserved for the kohen. So it'd be the equivalent of like mixing truma with cholin or something like that. How can you do that? So that opinion therefore holds that the word b'shela is actually related to a word in Lashon Kodesh that means whole, that it has to be whole rather than cut up. How exactly the word b'shela comes to mean whole, Rashi says over there, I don't understand how. Tosfos says that it means b'shel la, as it is for itself. Whatever the case, so according to that opinion, you actually wouldn't cook it together with the ram. You would cut it off first, and then you'd cook it separately and give it to the kohen. As opposed to the other opinion, there says, and this is the way it's brought by halacha, is you don't need to do that. They are in fact all cooked together, and then you cut it off. And in fact, the Gemara says over there, since this part of the leg is about 1/60th of the volume of the entire ram, and yet it doesn't answer it, we learn from that the concept of bittul in 1/60th. Anyway, this is the only time when you have that you take a piece of the korban that's already cooked and you wave it. Normally when you're waving parts of a korban, because of a shoit or whatever, then it's usually when they're raw. So here he does that. Then also the nazir takes for chalas matzah achas min asal, or a kik matzah achas. Now along with his korbanos, the nazir brings 20 loaves of bread. All of them are matzah. All of them are unleavened. 10 of them are chalos, which are thicker loaves. 10 of them are rikikin, which are wafer-like thin loaves. So now he takes one chalos matzah, one of the thicker loaves, and one of the thinner loaves. So now he has altogether. He has those two, plus he has the cooked zeraya. The noisen al kapi an nazir, the kohen places all of that on top of the hands of the nazir, umenifon, and he waves them, and he waves them to molochom maybe malo morid, in all six directions like a lulav, By the way, meanwhile, you also have, the Meiri points out, you do also have the Chos of Ashok are being waived as well, but those the Mishnah doesn't mention, because those are general to all Shlomim, and there's no need to mention them specifically over here. But yes, with the Ram of a Nazir, you have two different wavings, one of the Chos of Ashok, and one of this cooked Zeroya together with the two loaves of bread. And after that, Huter on Nazir, Lushtis Yain, or the Mason, now the Nazir is mutter to drink wine, and he's allowed to become Tommy Mess once the Korbanos have been brought. On the other hand, Reb Shimon says you don't need to do everything first. As soon as the blood of one of the Korbanos has been sprinkled, Huter on Nazir, Lushtis Yain, or the Mason, then already the Nazir is allowed to do those things. As opposed to according to the Tanakhama, you would need to do all of them. The Yerushalmi actually discusses, Rabbi Yochanan brings in the Yerushalmi, that even the Tanakhama would say that the lavim already go away as soon as the first blood is sprinkled. All it is you still have an Isser Esser. Whereas Rabbi Shimon would hold that you don't even have that. Okay, so let's discuss that last point. And the pasuk says, and after that, the nazir can drink wine. It means after a meisim kulon divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says it means after everything is done, meaning not only the korbanos but also the shaving. According to Rabbi Eliezer, not only does he have to have brought all three of the korbanos, but he also has to have shaved. Without that, his nazirus is not finished, and he'd still be also to do all the things that a nazir is not allowed to do. Whereas the Chum say after you do one single thing, meaning like Reb Shimon had said in the Mishnah, even if only one of the bloods was sprinkled, and even if he hadn't shaved yet. There's a similar machloikas later on. There's a similar machloikas that comes out of the sugya as far as the shaving. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to first bring all three korbanos, and only then can you shave. And then according to the Chachamim, you could shave after even only one of the korbanos. But then there are those who explain actually that maybe not. Maybe we did have a previous Mishnah that said Gilach Alachas Mishlosh and Yotza, that maybe everybody would agree that if you brought only one korban and then shaved, then B'diyev and B'yotza. So then Machlokas would just be, do you have to bring the other two korbanos in order to be mutter to drink wine and so forth, or is it enough that you brought only one korban? Okay. So let's discuss my time now, Dirabbanan. Why did Chachamim say, now, Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, we understand easily enough. The pasuk is va'achar, and after that, implying after everything that was described in the previous psukim, the three korbanos and the shaving, then yishta nozer yayin. So it's easy enough to understand why Rabbi Eliezer would say that you need all four things to be done. But my time now, Dirabbanan. But why did the Chachamim say that it's enough to just do one of the korbanos? And the answer is ksiv hocha va'acha, because they learned from Gzeira Shavim. Ksiv hocha va'acha yishta nozir yayin. Here the pasuk says afterward the nozir can drink wine. Uchtivasam acharis galchayis nizroi. A few psukim earlier it says that he does the tsnufa, that he waves the zroya b'sheila and so forth after he had shaved his nizirus. So we make Zeir Shavah, Ma Hosim Acha Maisi Yechidi. Just like over there, you're talking about after only one thing was done, because at that point he hadn't yet done everything. At that point he had only shaved. And the pasuk is saying Acha in connection with the shaving. Aftan Acha Maisi Yechidi. The same way when it says at the end Acha. When it says at the end, V'acha Yishtan Nozer Yayin, then the Chum said, Gzeir Shavah teaches us that after only one of the things is enough and he can already drink wine. Well, the Gemara asks, Ema Ad Ikatavayu, okay, but maybe still say that it means only that until you have both of them, until you have Korbanos and shaving, the earlier pasuk is telling you that after he shaves is when he waves the zroya b'sheila, but maybe in fact it would be that he has to actually have brought the korbanos as well. And the Gemara answers, well, in that case, what would we need the Gzeira Shava for? Of course, the simple meaning of the pasuk would be that you have to have done everything. If we have a Gzeira Shava, then it must mean that it's telling us that even before he's accomplished everything, then already he's mutter to drink wine and so forth. Now the Rosh asks the question, you could still say that maybe the Gzeira Shava teaches us that the one thing you don't need in order for it to be mutter would be to do the tnufa, to do the waving. Maybe we would say without the Gzeira Shava, we would say you have to do everything, all three things, the korbanos and the shaving and the waving. And now the Gzeira Shava would tell us that you don't need the waving, it's enough to have done the other two. The Rosh answer is because the fact is, according to the Chachamim, the tnufa, the waving is not even really considered. The Gemara is going to go on to say that that according to the Chachamim, neither the shaving nor the waving is ma'akev. In other words, the same way as according to the Chachamim, if he didn't shave, he's still yotzei. He didn't do the mitzvah of shaving, but nevertheless, his nezirus is over. The fundamental thing is that he brought his korbanos. They would say the same thing as the Gemara is going to go on to say about the waving. Well, therefore, there's no basis to say that without the waving, he should still be a nazir, such that we need a Gzeira Shava to tell us otherwise. So it must be then that the Gzeira Shava is telling us that even within the korbanos themselves, you don't have to have brought all three of them. It's enough to have brought one of them, and the blood of one of them was sprinkled, and already then he's allowed to drink wine and so forth. So that's the Chachamim, and again, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Okay, so now let's discuss this point more about what is ma'akev and what's not ma'akev. Let's keep in mind that you have a number of different things that the Nazir is doing over here. He's bringing three korbanos. He's shaving his hair. He's waving parts of the korbanos. He's bringing three korbanos, where we can talk about how many of those he needs to bring. He's shaving his hair and he's waving parts of the korban. So what exactly is ma'akev and what's not? So the Gemara starts off, Omer Rav, Tnufa b'nozer ma'akevus. The waving of the nozer is ma'akev, meaning if he doesn't do the waving of the parts of the korbanos, of the zroya b'shela, together with the two loaves of bread, then it's ma'akev, then it prevents him from finishing his nezirus, and he's still going to be also to drink wine, become tamei, and so forth. Well, the Gemara asks, Alibet Aman, according to who is Rav saying that? You're going to tell me it's according to the Chachamim in the Braisa, which is the same as Reb Shimon in the Mishnah. What do you mean? How could that be? To glachas amir rabbanon loy ma'akva. If the Chachamim are saying that even the shaving is not ma'akiv, tnufa miboya, would you need to say that tnufa? How could you possibly say that the tnufa is ma'akiv? The shaving, after all, Tosfos points out, is something on the goof of the nozir. So the tnufa, we never find with other korbanos also, we never find that the tnufa is ma'akiv. Because with other korbanos, with a shlomim, for example, we take the chos of a shoyk and you wave them and give them to the kohen. If you didn't wave them, the korban is b'dieved kosher. So why should we think over here that according to the Chachamim, if even then they hold over here that even the shaving is not ma'akev, how is it possible that tnufa could be? Elal libid Rabbi Eliezer. So you're going to say that Rav is saying his statement according to Rabbi Eliezer, which is the Tanakama of our Mishnah, that you need to have done all the ma'asim. So Rav is telling us that Rabbi Eliezer would say that not only about the three korbanos and not only about the shaving, but also about the waving. Well, the question is pita. Isn't that obvious? Ha'omer Rabbi Eliezer, acha ma'asim kulam. Didn't Rabbi Eliezer say after everything? So everything includes the tenufa. The answer is, without Rav telling us, Mao de Tema, you might have thought that you would say, Kivin de la inin kapara, shiore mitzvi, since the fact is, when it comes to kapara, the tnufa in general is only considered shiore mitzvi. It's only considered the remainders, the leftovers of the mitzvah. Meaning, we have a number of times when the Torah tells us to do something, and it's saying, but that thing is not ma'akev. You should do it, and if you do it, then you have a mitzvah of doing it. But if you don't, then it's not ma'akev, and the kapara has been accomplished anyway. So you haven't done, if you don't do it, you know, you haven't done mitzvah when I'm mucher. The Tosfos quotes from Gemara and Zvachim that uses the expression that if a person treated shnufa as shori mitzvah, if he treated it as the remainder of a mitzvah and didn't do it, then the posuk considers it as if loy kippur. The posuk considers it as if he wasn't mechaper, but really he is mechaper, he just didn't do mitzvah when I'm mucher. So the same. So now you would say over here. So you would think hochanami loyta active. You would think by the same logic here, it shouldn't be ma'akiv according to Rabbi Eliezer, because if it's shiori mitzvah everywhere else, it should be considered a shiori mitzvah over here also. So no, kamash malon. Therefore, Rab wants us to know that it's not like that here when it comes to the here when the pasuk says va'achar, and Rabbi Eliezer does not hold of the gzeira shava that we said before from the word achar that can mean only some things. So he holds that in fact the nozer has to have done everything, and only then can he drink the wine. Well, then the everything includes the tznufa as well, and therefore it is ma'achiv. So the Gemara, there's a Gemara in Menachas that explains what the logic points to the Yazir. Why should that be? Because here by the Nazir, it also says the word Yasa, which he says means that it's ma'active, which you don't have that expression. You don't have that expression by other Korbanos. So now the Gemara asks, how could you tell me though that the tnufa of a nazir according to Rabbi Eliezer is ma'akiv? V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa about tnufa. The pasuk says zois torah sanazir. The pasuk says this is the torah of the nazir that he brings his korbanos, and that means all nazirim ben sheyesh lo kapayim. Whether the nazir has hands or whether he doesn't, so whether his hands were amputated. Obviously, if his hands were amputated, then he can't do the tznufa. So the Gemara is assuming that it means that just like if he doesn't have hands and he can't do the tznufa, then he doesn't need to, he's still yotze. The same way, even if he has hands, then nevertheless, that shouldn't be ma'akiv. So Tosfos also adds that the Gemara is assuming at this point that this Braisa can only be according to Rabbi Eliezer. Because according to the Chachamim, there'd be no reason to say it anyway. According to them, they have the Zera Shava, that even the shaving is not active, how much more so the Tnufa, because we said before, again, that the shaving is on his own goof, the Tnufa is less so, it has to do more with the Korban. So therefore, the Gemara is assuming that A, this Braisa is according to Rabbi Eliezer, and B, that this Braisa, since it says that it works even if the Nazir has no hands, then if the Pashtus, it would mean that even if he has hands and failed to do the Tznufa, then also he would be Yotze. In that case, then that would contradict what Rav is saying. Well, the Gemara answers back, the Ela Hodatanya knew, and according to your question, you have to consider what about another Braisa? Another Braisa says Zos Teras HaNazir, that again from those same words Zos Teras HaNazir, and we know that part of the procedure of the Nazir is that he has to shave. And a Braisa says Ben Sheyesh Lo Seir Ben Sheein Lo Seir, whether he has hair or whether he doesn't have hair. What if a person is bald and became a Nazir? So either way, the Braisa is saying that he's Yotze and he doesn't have to do the shaving. And Hochinami Deloy Ma'akva. So are you going to tell me then that in that case that if he doesn't have hair, it's not ma'akiv, and it's then according to Rabbi Eliezer, that is, and he wouldn't have to shave. So according to the Chachamim, for sure it wouldn't be ma'akiv because they already have their gzeira shava. So now you're talking according to Rabbi Eliezer. Are you going to say that in the case of the shaving man, he doesn't have to do anything at all? But we have another braisa that says nazir memorat, a nazir who is bald. Beshamai says he still has to pass a razor over his head, meaning there's no hair to actually shave over there. But Beshamai still says he needs to take a razor and move it around over his head in order to be mekayim what the pasuk says that he we learned the other day that you have the pasuk that says that as long as he's a nazir, tar lo yaver arosha. And he said we infer from that that once his nazirus is over, once malois hayamim, then a razor should pass over his head. So Beis Shammai says that he actually has to do that. He has to physically take a razor and pass it over his head, even though there's no hair to actually, shave. So now, by the same token, should we maybe say, by the person who has no hands, maybe you still need to do tznuach, or maybe the kohen still needs to hold the zroya b'sheila and so forth over the hands of the nazir? But that's according to Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says he does not need to put a razor over his head, meaning he's bald. Putting a razor is not going to help anyway, so therefore it's not ma'akiv. And Beis Hillel says that he does need to pass a razor over his head. Now, when we say that he doesn't need, but Amar Ravina, so Ravina clarifies that you should know, my Einet Sarich, Beis Shammai, what does Beis Shammai mean when they say he doesn't need, means Einet Sarich ve'ein lo takon, means actually, ein lo takon. It means actually, according to Beis Shammai, he doesn't need to, and there's no takona, because according to Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai, what happens is that since he's bald and there's no giluach possible, then Beis Shammai is going to say that he cannot do the giluach at all, because the mitzvah of the Torah is that he should shave. And in this case, he has no hair. In this case, he has no hair to shave. So therefore, Beis Shammai is going to say that he doesn't need to, but means the ein loy takana. There's no takona for him. Meaning, in other words, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, it would mean that. So if we understand Beis Shammai like Rabbi Eliezer, it would mean there's no way for him to ever finish his nazirus because there's no hair for him to shave. According to the Chachamim, it would mean that there's no way for him to accomplish the mitzvah of giluach. Meanwhile, Beis Hillel would be saying that he can still accomplish that by putting a razor on his head, even though there's no actual hair to shave. Anyway, the point is, therefore, so you see, therefore, the Braisa is obviously not saying that the one who has hair and the one who doesn't have hair are the same thing. And then you're going to say that the shaving is not ma'aktiv at all. What is the Braisa saying? The Braisa is saying, the way Ravina understands it, that it's sorish ve'en lo takana. There's actually no way of fixing up the situation. But if he has hair, if he has hair, then he could shave, and if he doesn't, he can't shave. And according to Beis Hillel, we're saying that either way he needs to put a razor over his head. So obviously, therefore, the Braisa is not coming to equate the two kinds of Nazirim. All it's trying to tell you is that there is something that can be done by each one. Well, then, the same way, by the Nazir who has no hands, maybe what we're saying is, if he has hands, he has to wave. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, if he doesn't, then he's not. Then he hasn't finished his Nazirus. Whereas if he doesn't have hands, then all he needs to do is he uses the stumps of his arms. So you could understand that. So if you understand it that way, then the Braisa is not, then the original Braisa at the top of the Amud about whether he has hands or not is not a question on Rav, because Rav was saying that the Tnufa is ma'aktiv. Very well, the Braisa is saying, Bein Shiyesh Lekapayim, Bein Lashayim Lekapayim, doesn't mean that he doesn't have to wave at all. It means if he has hands, he does it with his hands. And if he doesn't, he does it with the stumps of his arms. So therefore we could understand it that way, and therefore it's not a contradiction on Ra. In fact, Tosfos points out that the Gemara could have just as well, why did it even need to bring the Braisa about the hands? It could have right away said that according to the Chachamim, Tiglachas is not ma'aktiv anyway, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, it is. So without even bringing this Braisa of Nozim Memorat, we would have really had the same question as well. Anyway, continues the Gemara. V'hainu d'Rav Pedos. Now, when we understand Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel the way that Ravina did, then it comes out that it's saying the same thing as Rav Pedos said. The Amr Pedosa, Bes Shammai, Rabbi Eliezer, Amru Dover Achav. Rabbi Pedosa, that you should know, Bes Shammai and Rabbi Eliezer are saying effectively the same thing, which is actually not so surprising. Rabbi Eliezer himself is often, throughout Shas, is kind of the representative of Bes Shammai. You have Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel were mostly during the time of Shammai and Hillel themselves, but their machloikas continued to a certain extent in the next generation as well, and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer in general are the representatives of Bes Hillel and Bes Shammai in the next generation. But here, Rabbi Pedosa is telling us that in this particular aspect, Rabbi Eliezer and Bes Shammai are basically saying the same thing as far as somebody who's lacking certain things that the certain body parts that the Torah mentions in connection with the mitzvah. So here we were talking about as far as a nazir who's bald, so therefore he doesn't have the mitzvah of shaving. And we said that Ravina understands Bes Shammai to be saying Ainit Sorech means Ainit Takana, meaning that there's no way for him to accomplish the mitzvah, as opposed to Bes Hillel had said that he can accomplish the mitzvah by putting a razor on his head, even though there's no hair to shave. So now, Rabbi Eliezer and Bes Shammai says Rabbi Pedosa are saying the same thing, namely that Rabbi Eliezer is going to say in a different context about a mitzvah, you have a similar kind of thing. So my Rabbi Eliezer, where do we see Rabbi Eliezer's opinion on that? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Eimoy Boyan Yad Beregel, if a mitzvah does not have a thumb or a big toe. Now the Pasuk tells us in Parashas Mitzvah that when a mitzvah becomes Tahor, and he also brings korbanos. One of the korbanos he brings is an osham, and the kohen takes blood from that osham and applies it to his right ear, to the cartilage of his right ear, and then to his big thumb, and then to his thumb of his right hand. So then to the thumb of his right, to his right thumb, and also to his right big toe. And then afterwards, then the kohen goes along and then continues and puts on their oil as well. There's the mitzvah also brings together with his korbanos a lug of oil, and the kohen goes on and places oil on those three places as well. So now what happens if the mitzvah doesn't have a thumb, doesn't have a right thumb, or doesn't have a right toe, doesn't have a right big toe? So the braisa says, "Ein leitara ilamis divrei Rabbi Eliezer." Rabbi Eliezer says there's no way for that mitzvah to ever become tahor because he can't accomplish what he needs to. Rav Shimon Omer Yanichenu Amakoyim Viyotza. Rav Shimon says all you have to do is place it in the place where the thumb or the toe was. So you put it on the stump over there. Viyotza, and then he's yotza. V'cham Omer the Chum say another possibility. Yaniach Al Shol Smol Viyotza. He can put the blood on the left thumb or the left or the left big toe, and he's also yotze. So both of them hold. In other words, Rav Shimon and the Chachamim both hold. If you can't do exactly as it says in the pasuk, then you use alternatives. You put it on the stump where it was, or you put it on the left instead of on the right. The point being, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that not. Rabbi Eliezer is saying that if you can't do it in the right place, on the actual right thumb, or on the actual right toe, then there's nothing you can do. So by the same token then, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say, and Rabbi Pedos is saying that Bes Shammai is saying the same thing. Therefore, that understanding of Bes Shammai is exactly the same as what Ravina had said. Namely that Ravina had said that Bes Shammai had said that when we say a bold nazir einet sarich doesn't mean einet sarich, he doesn't need to do anything at all. On the contrary, it means einet sarich, there's nothing that he can do because there's no hair for him to shave, and even putting a razor on his head, like the Basil says, is not going to help. So we see therefore that Rav Ravina agrees with Rav Pedos. They both understand Bes Shammai the same way, and that understanding of Bes Shammai is also equal to the understanding of Rav Eliezer. So therefore, so we're still left with then that fine. Rav had said that tznufa is ma'akiv, meaning that if you didn't do the tznufa then, and we established that that's according to Rav Eliezer, that you're not yotze. Well, exactly. What that means is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to have hands in order to be able to do in order to do the tshnufa. So now we're going to understand. Now we're going to understand the braisa, like we said before, when we said that we said bein sheyesh lekapayim, bein sheim lekapayim, whether he has hands or not. Now we're going to understand that what that means is whether he has hands or whether or not, he needs to do tshnufa. And since he cannot do tshnufa because he doesn't have hands, then therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say, no good. Or actually, maybe what it would mean is, Tosfos says, maybe what it would mean is that, that in fact, even then, fine, you could say that the stumps of his hands are still considered, are still considered his hands to the extent that you could, to the extent that he could do tshnufa with those. Now, Tosfos also brings that, Tosfos, all the Tosfos for the Sugya are printed on Amud Aleph, that actually Tosfos brings a different gusa, which is like this. All this time we were saying, let's review the sugya then. We said that Rav had said that tshnufa is not accurate. We said, what about the braisa that says whether he has hands or whether or not he can still do the tshnufa? Then the Gemara said, on the other hand, when you consider the braisa with the hair, then you see that's not what it means. In that context, we had Ve'omer Ravina, that Ravina said that. And once we brought a braisa about the hair and about the shamai and the silo, then Ravina informs us, you should know, when the shamai says, ein et tzorich, means ein lo takon. Tosfos brings a different girsa that has, instead of the Omer Ravina, instead you have Omer Ravina, without the vav. And in that case, that changes things, and in that case, that changes things a great deal. What it means is that the flow of the Gemara now would go somewhat differently. That part that Tosfos was discussing is actually later on in the Sugya. So no, we'll continue on where we are. Right now we just have the one understanding, which is that so far the Gemara has established that according to this Lashon that we had so far, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, yes, the tshnufa is ma'akev, and in fact, if the person doesn't have hands, then there's no way for him to be able to accomplish the mitzvah. So now the Gemara continues, lishnach v'ina amila. Now there's a different version of how the sugya goes. According to the second version, rather, the flow is as follows. Omer Rav, tshnufa benozir ma'akeves. That's the tshnufa of a... The Rav says the tshnufa of a nazir is ma'akev. He doesn't do the tshnufa, then he can't. His nazirus is not over. And again, the Gemara asks, like it did before, alibadaman, who is that like? Ilema alibadir of the Yazir, if you're going to say. Now, in the first version, the Gemara said it can't be like a chachamim, it has to be like Rabbi Yazir. So now, in the second lashon, we're going the other way around. Ilema alibadir of the Yazir, are you going to say that statement of Rav is according to Rabbi Eliezer, pshita, isn't that obvious? Ha'omer Rabbi Eliezer la'achar ma'isim, kulam. Didn't Rabbi Eliezer say it's only after all the ma'isim? Ela alibad rabbanon. So you're going to say that Rav's statement is according to the Chachamim. How could it be? Hashti yashlomer tiglachas amir rabbanon d'loy ma'akva. If the Chachamim are saying that even the shaving, which is on the goof of the nazir, is not ma'akiv, tnufa mibaya, would you need to say that tnufa is that tshnufa is ma'akiv? How is that possible? Why should it be ma'akiv according to them? And the answer is, the Gemara asks back, v'chil u'mi loy ma'akiv. So what, you're telling me according to the Chachamim, tshnufa would not be ma'akiv? Now in the first version, we had the Gemara now brought this braisa about Zoris, Teres, and Nazir, and asked, and said that Bryce seems to be according to Rabbi Eliezer, but even according to him, it seems it's not ma'akev. Now, in the second Lashon, the Gemara is going the other way around. That the Gemara is going to bring this Bryce and say that on the face of it, this Bryce is according to the Chachamim, and say that even according to them, apparently Tanufa is ma'akev. Well, Hatanya, Zos Teres Anoza, Ben Sheyesh LeKapayim, Ben Shein LeKapayim. The Bryce says that when it says Zos Teres Anoza means whether he has hands or whether not. Now what we could understand is, unlike at the top of the Amud, where we understood that to mean that either way he doesn't have to do the tshnufa, now maybe let's understand the other way around. That just like a nazir who has no hands is not able to do the tshnufa, and therefore he can't be yotze. The same way, even if he has hands, he still has to do it. So fine, the Chachamim may say that tshnufa is not ma'akev, but they might say that he has to have the ability to do tshnufa. So if he has hands and then not, and then he doesn't do it, fine. Maybe you could say it's not, maybe you could say it's not active. But if he doesn't have, it sounds like he is. So therefore it comes out, if we understand it that way, then we would say, according to the Chachamim, in fact, we would say that Tznufa is ma'akiv. That we would say just like, so in the first Lashon we said that, if he has no hands and he can't do Tznufa, and then we're saying that's not ma'akiv the same way, even if he has hands, it's also not ma'akiv. Now we're gonna argue the other way around. We're gonna say, just like by one who has no hands, it's ma'akiv, because we can apply the rule kol roi labila. Whenever you have something that's impossible to do, then it's ma'akiv, and here it's impossible because he doesn't have hands. So then we would say that maybe we would learn that in fact, even if he has hands and he fails to do the tenufa, then he's not yotze. Now this Braisa, the Rosh points out, is learning from the word Zois Teres HaNazir. If it was according to Rabbi Eliezer, then instead he says, we learn from Va'achal Yishra HaNazir Yayin, we learn from the word Achal. So obviously, therefore, now the Gemara is assuming in the second Lashon that this Braisa would be according to the Chachamim. And now let's take the understanding that it means that either way he has to do the Tenufa, and if not, it's Ma'atid. So what are you telling me then? So again, when we go back to Rav's statement, Tenufa B'Nazir Ma'akedes, So on the face of it, maybe that statement of Rav is in fact according to the Chachamim. So maybe according to the Chachamim, then even though Tiglachas, even though shaving is not active, maybe Tznufa is.
There's no arms in me, or just
so whether either way, that's the thing. Because the Braisa is comparing whether he has no hands or whether he has hands, we would say if he has no hands, certainly we would have good reason to say it's ma'akiv, because we would say that he doesn't even have the possibility of doing it. So therefore we would draw an analogy from that, that even if he does have hands, nevertheless he still has to do it or he's not yotze. So maybe we could say that Rav's statement in the second version is in fact according to the Chacham. But the Gemara answers back, the Ella Hodetanya. Again, what are you going to do though with the Braisa about the hair? Nazir Memoda, it's a bald Nazir. The Braisa says, Zois Teres HaNazir, Bein Sheyesh Lo Seir or Bein Sheein Lo Seir, that Zois Teres HaNazir also teaches us that it's the same thing, whether he has hair or whether he doesn't have hair. So again, are you going to say, Hochinami de Ma'akva? Are you going to tell me, according to the Chachamim, that the shaving is Ma'akva if he doesn't have hair? V'hatanya nazir memorot. Doesn't it say in another braisa that if a nazir is bald, v'shamayim enet tzorech lahavir tar al roshay, v'shamayim says it does not have to pass a razor over his head, over v'silam tzorech, and the civil says he does need to. So you see, therefore, that, so Bishama is saying he doesn't need to. Bishilo is saying that he doesn't need to, but all he needs to do is pass a razor over his head, even though there's nothing to shave. So it sounds like, according to both Bishama and Bishilo, the fact that he can't shave is not ma'active. So therefore, the Braisa now would mean that just like a nazir who has hair has to shave, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's ma'akiv, according to the Chachamim, it's not. The same way, if he doesn't have hair, he still has to do a movement of shaving, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it would be ma'akiv, and according to the Chachamim, not. Well, the same thing, we should understand the first Braisa, the earlier Braisa about the hands, the same way. If he has hands, then he needs to wave it with his hands, and if he doesn't, then he can still wave it using the stumps of his arms. So if you understand it that way, then you would say that maybe in fact that Tznufa is ma'akiv, that Tznufa is ma'akiv by a nazir. So rather, in other words, the previous braisa is not saying that's ma'akiv. It's saying that there is always a way for the nazir to accomplish it. There is either he can use his hands or he can use the stumps of his hands. But not necessarily that we're saying that Tznufa would be saying that if he has no hands, there's no way to do it. The same way as we're not saying that a nazir is bald, there's no way to do it. We would say according to Bishamai, he doesn't even need to do anything, and according to Bishilo, he needs to pass a razor over his head. But the Gemara answers back, not necessarily, because Omer Rav Avina, answers, might sorich le Bishilo, because you could answer that when Bishilo says sorich means sorich ve'ein le takana, means that he needs to pass the razor over his head, but there's nothing that he can do because, in fact, because there's no hair to shave.
Isn't the one who said that you have to move the ticket? You have to move the
Well, that's the thing. Until now, we were understanding this Hillel to be saying that you just put a razor on his head and he's yotze with that. Now Rabbi Avina is saying that no, the Hillel means there has to actually be hair to shave. And if there's no hair to shave, then there's nothing you can do. According to Rabbi Eliezer, it would be ma'akev, and according to the Chamim, it's fine, it's not ma'akev, but he's not able to accomplish the mitzvah of Yiluach. Well, Beis Shama, yesh le'takona, whereas according to Beis Shama, there's still, he could do that by passing a razor over his head without doing anything, without it actually cutting any hair at all. In which case, if we understand it that way, opliga the Rabbi Pidos, then it would mean that Rabbi Avina disagrees with Rabbi Pidos. Before we had Rabbi Pidos saying that Beis Shammai and Rabbi Eliezer are saying the same thing, that they're both saying that in a case where you don't have a certain body part, then you can't be yotze. We had in the case of the Metzora, Rabbi Eliezer had said he had no thumb or no toe, then he can't ever finish his Nezirus. Now, if we understand Beis Shammai to be saying tzoris, meaning that Beis Shammai, that just the opposite, we'd be saying Beis Hillel will be the ones who say that a Nazir who's bald has no alternative. Beis Shammai would be the ones who are saying, Tzorich, he needs to do something. He needs to pass a razor over his head. That would come out that Beis Shammai is more like the Chachamim or Reb Shimon in the case of the Metzora. Then in that case, then Reb Avina necessarily would be disagreeing with Reb Pedos, because Reb Pedos' understanding of Beis Shammai would be that there's no way for the Metzora to shave. There's no way for him to accomplish the mitzvah of shaving, whereas according to Reb Avina's understanding, on the contrary, you would say that Beis Shammai would say there is a way to. Now, here's where Tosfos brings on Amud Aleph that there is a different girsa in the Gemara over here, which is that instead of Omer Rabbi Avina, instead of the Gemara saying that Rabbi Avina says that understanding the Braisa differently, instead the girsa would be Ha Omer Rabbi Avina. Didn't Rabbi Avina say? Meaning, in other words, that then the flow of the Gemara would be like this. We're saying that whether he has hair or whether or not, then he still has the mitzvahs of nizibs. And then we have another braisa that says that Beis Shammai says he doesn't need to, and Beis Hillel says he doesn't, and Beis Hillel says he does need to. So now we would understand then that, so now we would say that the braisa is saying that that the same way he always had, when he has hair, he has a mitzvah of shaving. Then we would say the same way where he doesn't have an hair, he does not, he has a mitzvah of putting a razor on his head. The same way we would say the same thing as far as the hands, that either way he uses his hands or he uses his arms. And now we would say, Ella Hod Omer Ravina, then we would say that Ravina is saying that no, that maybe the Silo means Tzorich Ve'emai Takana, that in other words, when it comes to the hair, it is Ma'akiv, and the same way when it comes to the hands, it is Ma'akiv. So in other words, the flow of the Gemara would be like this. V'hatanya, didn't we learn in a Braisa, Nozir Memorot, a bald Nozir, V'shamim Ein Tzorich V'avatara Rosh V'silom Tzorich, V'omer Abavina, and so now we would have, instead of Omer Abavina, we would have instead of Omer Rav Avina, we would have the Omer Rav Avina. My tzorich leveisilo tzorich ba'ema takana. You should know what does veisilo mean by tzorich? Means there's no way of fixing it up. Which the implication would be, hol beis shama yesh le takana. According to beis shama, you could do that by putting a razor on, even though there's no hair to cut. Or pliga derab pedos. In which case, Rav Avina is disagreeing with Rav Pedos, meaning again, Rav Pedos had said that Beis Shammai and Rav Eliezer hold the same way, and according to Rav Avina, it's for two different reasons. Rav Eliezer would say that when the Metzora has no thumb or no big toe, he can't do anything at all, whereas Beis Shammai is saying that the Nozir with no hair can't do anything at all, but rather that he can put a tar on, he can put a razor on his head. So that would mean then, according to that, it would come out that the Braisa that said Zeus Tertus on Nozir, whether he has hair or whether he doesn't have hair, either way, the same dinim apply, that would be according to Beis Shammai, and it would mean the same, either way, he has to put a razor over his hair, in one case he's shaving and in the one case he's not. So now, when it comes to the Braisa about the hands, we'd understand the same way. The same way as if he has hands, he does the tnufa with his hands. If he doesn't, then he uses his arms. So that would mean, in other words, that would mean there's no proof from these Braisas that tnufa is ma'akev, like Rav had said. So maybe we could say Tinufa is ma'akev, but we don't have a proof for it from the Braises. Then Tosfos goes on to say that you can't say that this Braise would be like this Hillel, because what do you mean this Hillel would say Tzorech ve'en lo takana? Ein lo takana, as far as what? According to the Chachamim, you don't even need the hair cutting in the first place. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you don't need Zos Torah Sanozir. He already learns it from the Jerusha, from the word Achal. So therefore, that's a different way of explaining the Gemara based on a slightly different Girsa that not Omar Rab Ovin, which is a new statement, but Ve Omar or Elohod Omar Rab Avina, which is that he's clarifying what we said before, and therefore we come out. So in any case, the point is so now what's the actual halacha in these cases when it comes to the nazir? When it comes to the nazir who has hands or doesn't have hands, so. Well, first, actually, let's talk about when it comes to the nazir who has hair or doesn't have hair. The Rambam paskens that he doesn't even need to use a razor at all. Which, according to the first lashon over here, comes out according to Beis Shammai. Usually, we pass them like Beis Hillel, but this would be a rare example where we pass them like Beis Shammai. Then we would say, according to the second lashon also, yeah, according to both lashonis, because either way, the Shammai is saying, ain't it sort of lahaber tar, he doesn't need to pass a razor, and now we'd be saying that, so that would mean, in other words, he doesn't need to do anything at all. As far as on the face of it, it's like the Shammai, but you also have the point. Really, the halacha is like the Chachamim against Rabbi Eliezer anyway. The halacha is that the shaving is not ma'akev, therefore, there's no reason for him, therefore, even if he can't do the shaving, he's still yotze. He doesn't need to actually pass a razor over his bald head. And as far as the no hands, similarly, the Rambam paskens also that he can still bring his korbanos for the same reason, because even though we're saying that Rab is saying Tnufa is ma'akev, that would only be according to Rabbi Eliezer, according to the Chachamim, if Giluach is not ma'akev, then certainly Tnufa is not, and therefore the result is that he's yotze, and he doesn't need to do anything else. As far as the case of the Mitzora, where again he needs to wave, there the Rambam paskens differently. There the Rambam paskens, like the Chachamim in the Mishnah over there, or like Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah over there, that says that if he doesn't have a thumb or a toe or whatever, Eimlai Tarai Lomas, then he can never become Tohar. So this is actually, Mesoras Hashas points out that there's a different sugya that brings this braisa and actually has the opinions flipped around. That actually has, that it's the Chachamim who say that Ein Lo Tara Elamis, and Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you can put it on the left side and be Yotze. So our sugya has one version of it, but a different sugya has it the other way around, and the Rambam is paskening like that. The Rambam is paskening like that other sugya, or actually even like the Mishnah. The Mishnah in the Goyim actually addresses this. Here the Gemara had brought a Braisa, but you actually have a Mishnah in the Goyim that deals with this. And in the Mishnah over there, you have that the Tanakhama says that Ein Lo Boyin Yad, etc., Ein Lo Tara Elamas. Rabbi Eliezer is the one who says you can put it on the stump, and Rabbi Shimon says you can put it on the left side, unlike Or Gemara, which has it in a different order. Or Gemara has it that Rabbi Eliezer says that he can never become Tara. Rabbi Shimon says you can put it on the stump, and the Chachamim say you put it on the left. The Mishnah and the Goyim actually has the opinions flipped around, and the Rambam is passing according to the Chachamim in that Mishnah. And therefore, the result is that if he doesn't have a thumb or a toe, then he can never become Tahor. So there is, in fact, a difference between that and the Nazir. Because by the Nazir, we're establishing over here that it is Rabbi Eliezer who's saying that the shaving and the waving are Ma'akim, and the Chacham say that not. And we don't have any other opinion on that. So therefore, we can follow the opinion of the Chachamim and say that it's not ma'akev. Whereas by the Nazir, again, you have the Mishnah in the Nergoyim that says differently, that has their opinion differently than all Gemara over here, and the Rambam is passing like that.
So Gemara is passing over there with according to Lishachet.
So it comes out, in other words, that over there, the Mishnah is different than we have the Mishnah over here. This is one of the, Tosfos calls this kind of thing sugyas hafuchos. Sometimes you have different sugyas that take opposite views on who holds what or what the conclusions are that we would come from it. This is one of those examples. So here, if we followed our Gemara over here, we would end up saying that the Nazir and the Metzora have to be identical. If we establish that by the Nazir, the shaving and the waving are not ma'akev, and therefore that if he doesn't have hair, he doesn't have to do anything, and if he doesn't have hands, he doesn't have to do anything. We ought to say the same thing by the Metzora, but the difference is by the Metzora we have the Mishnah in Negoyim and a different sugya elsewhere in Shas that quotes that Mishnah, that quotes the opinions differently, and the Rambam is passing according to that. So it comes out, even though or based on our Gemara, you would say they ought to be identical. In fact, it comes out that they end up being opposites. In the case of the Metzora, it's ma'akev. In the case of the Nazir, it's not.
So it means that they can always stay in Tzaris. Like, what means he can't become?
Means he can't, he doesn't remain a Metzora, but it means he remains a Mechusar Kapara. He can never come into the Beis Mikdash, and he can never eat Kodshim.
Oh.
Yeah. So makes sense. Yeah. The Mishnah continues. Gila Chalazevach.
Are you still there?
Yeah, you're still there. Gila Chalazevach Benimtz Apostle. Suppose that the Nazir shaved in connection with the Korban, so he brought one of the three Korbanos, and it turned out that the Korban was possible. Then the din is the shaving is possible or zvacha by ololai, and the korbanos that the rest of the korbanos that he brought doesn't count, because what happened is in effect now it's the equivalent of him having been shaved by listing that we talked about before. Now he's going to need another 30 days growth of hair in order to be able to finish his nazirus. So therefore the other korbanos that he brought are also they're not possible in the sense that they're still a shlomim is still a shlomim, an ola is still an ola. But in other words, he's not yotze. He can't say that I brought some of my korbanos and I'm going to bring the rest of my korbanos later. No, he hasn't brought anything. Because that korban turned out to be possible for whatever reason. Tosfos gives examples. Let's say, for example, the blood of the korban was spilled before they sprinkled on the mizbeach, or the blood was taken out of the azara, or the blood became tummy. So in all those cases, then we say it's the equivalent of yuchul listing. Gilach halachatas shalai b'shma. What happens if he shaved? What happens if he brought the chatas and then shaved, and it turns out the chatas was brought shalai b'shma? Now a chatas is one of only two korbanos that, if it's brought shalai b'shma, is possible. Most other korbanos, you bring them shalai b'shma, the korban is still kosher. You're just not yotz with it. But here a chatas that was shechted or the blood sprinkled or whatever shalai b'shma actually is possible. And then he brought the rest of his korbanos again. That lishman, he brought them lishman. Still, to glachte psulo zvachav le'olamai. Again, his shaving is possible, and the korbanos don't count for the same reason, because again the shaving was no good, and therefore he has to start. Therefore, he needs another 30 days.
What told me to bring down chatas?
Because he it's like this. In other words, in effect, he shaved before he brought chatas. The chatas was possible. So in effect, he shaved before he brought any of the korbanos. Even the chachamim we said before hold, he has to bring at least one of the korbanos in order to shave.
Oh, so the chatas was the first one. Yeah.
What if he shaved on the ola or on the shlomim, meaning he brought the ola or the shlomim first, and again they were brought shaloi l'shman? So now an ola or a shlomim that are brought shaloi l'shman, they are a kosher korban. However, they don't count for his chayva. So therefore, the same thing. If then he brought the rest of his korbanos l'shman, same thing. Then his shaving is possible, and the korbanos don't count. Reb Shimon Omer, here Reb Shimon disagrees and says, Oysa zavach by all aloi, no, only that particular korban doesn't count for him. Avol shal zvachim olu, but the other korbanos do count, because Reb Shimon is going to say in the Gemara that it doesn't have to be that the Nazir shaves in connection with the shlomim that he's required to bring. Even if he were to shave in connection with a shalmin nedaver, he would still be yotze. Well, then, in effect, this becomes a shalmin nedaver. It becomes a voluntary shlomim. It's still a kosher shlomim. Unlike a chakas with shaloi l'shma is possible, a shlomim shaloi l'shma is kosher. It doesn't count for his favor. Still, Reb Shimon says that's not a problem. His shaving is still kosher. The diyevet.
That's what then we learned actually if he told the story days he never come on, he still doesn't have to start out again.
No, not we're not talking about starting again, but he needs 30 days growth of hair in order to be able to shave. We went before Rebbe. Eliezer says he needs only 7 days, fine, but the point is he can't bring the rest of his carbonus right now. Continues the Mishnah. V'im gilach al shloshdan. Now, what happens if he shaved on all three of them, meaning he waited until all three of them were offered, and then he shaved the nimsa echaman kosher, as long as it turns out that at least one of them is kosher, fine, tiglach dik shera, then his shaving is kosher, v'yavish ha'zvach, and then eventually he needs to bring the other korbanos instead of the possible ones. So in other words, he's better off waiting not to shave after the first korban, because if that one korban that was done so far becomes possible, then he's going to have problems. But if he waits until all three, then... So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Adam Abba, Zoysei Meres, we see from Rav Shimon's opinion in our Mishnah, Kasavar Rav Shimon, Nazar Shadila HaSham in Adava Yatsa. That Rav Shimon was going to hold that if a nazir shaved in connection with shalmei nedava, so he brought just a regular shlamim, not the specific shlamim of a nazir, just a regular shlamim without bread, not necessarily a ram, etc. If he shaved, Rav Shimon is holding that he's zotze. My timer, why would Rav Shimon say that? So because the Amar Kra, the pasuk says that he has to take his hair, the nasan ala esha shetach zevach hashlamim. It says he puts it on the fire that is under the zevach hashlamim. The loikos of al shlamim. It doesn't say on his shlamim. His shlamim would imply davka the shlamim that a nazir has to bring. Tak zevach hashlamim implies the shlamim of any kind. So therefore, Reb Shimon is saying that it means any kind of shlomim, as long as there was a shlomim, Reb Shimon says that he's going to be good. So the Chachamim disagree with that, because they don't doubt him the word that way, but the point of Reb Shimon was saying that as long as there was a shlomim, then he's Yotze, and it doesn't matter whether it was the particular shlomim of the Nazir. Tosfos brings a different posik. Not a different posik, but a different way of Tosfos points out that the Gemara explains that there's a Gemara in Menachos that learns a hekesh between a toda and a shlomim as far as a number of different details. So now we're also saying, therefore, that if he were to have a toda over here, then also he would be yotze because a toda is a type of shlomim. Okay. Sure, everyone.